Matt, I'm embarrassed. I don't recognize this.
This is Glenn Hansard's band called The Frames.
Okay, Glenn Hansard from Once.
Yep. Founded in 1990. To make the time more easy passing.
And I built a monument. Nice. Welcome back to Car Nights, everybody.
Isn't that wall of sound blast intro just one of the best things?
That was fantastic. I'm like, wow, what is this? I'm thinking of it. This is before Once. Okay. Oh. Once is a movie about an Irish troubadour, street busker, who is writing songs of broken-hearted love and the I guess she's a Czech immigrant to Ireland, single mom that meets him and motivates him to follow his dreams and make a record and not just play on the streets of Dublin. Go make a record, and go get a record deal in England. Great, beautiful movie. Beautiful movie, just all featuring Ireland as the backdrop. Hope you guys had a great day today on St. Pat's. St. Patrick's Day started, the first parade was in New York. St. Patrick's Day, of course, started in Ireland. You ever been to Chicago for St. Pat's? The green, where they dye the river green?
I've seen it. I've been to Chicago, just never on St. Patrick's.
They have, I think, one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parades in the world. Boston has a huge St. Patrick's Day. New York has a huge St. Patrick's Day. I mean, the kind with parades and the police department and the fire department and marching bands and the whole nine. They're paying tribute to the Irish contribution to the American story. And all of us, you know, unless we are indigenous, I guess is the correct word to use now, native, tribal. I don't even want to say American Indian. That's really, I think, not as respectful as it should be. I don't know if it's derogatory. I don't want to be over woke, but I guess the correct terminology is indigenous peoples to America, right? Unless that's your heritage, you came here as an immigrant. The Irish came here and they were the bad guys. The Italians came here, they were the bad guys. The Chinese came, they were the bad guys. We've always been that way about people who are coming to America after we get here. After our people get here, we want to close the border and not let anybody else in and ruin our good time. That's like climbing a ladder and pulling it up behind you. That's just not what we're all about here. You know, Irish were the first steel workers in New York, helped build New York City, the empire. You know, Italians too. The Chinese built the railroads along with the Irish. You know, when I think I mentioned this last night, when the Irish came to America, they were indentured servitude for the most of them. Most of them who came here. 3 million Irish had to leave the island during the Great Potato Famine. And they came to America. And a lot of them became police officers, firefighters, laborers, servants, maids. When I was growing up in Baltimore and spending my summers in Ocean City, Maryland, right? My first experience with Irish people. We'd go to the beach, a bunch of kids from Baltimore. And Ocean City at that time wasn't segregated yet. You know, a summer job at the beach was still something very much white Americans had the privilege of doing. Inner city kids from Baltimore, not a lot of them went, some did, but not a lot of them went to the beach for summer jobs. So it's much better now, much more diverse. The massive population in Ocean City that wasn't just your basic white American in the 70s and early 80s were Irish kids. These kids, there was so little work in Ireland, Matt, that they would come to America, get a summer job, save their money all summer, and it would still be a good bargain for them, be worthwhile to them to travel here, stay here, and still be able to earn enough to take some savings home. There wasn't work in Ireland for them to do. They had to come, you know, 4,000 miles to find a summer job, but it was great. And most of them worked as in the hotels. They worked as maids in the hotels and waiters and cooks in the restaurants. Remember meeting Irish kids in the kitchen I worked at the restaurant I worked at in the summer months? It was awesome. I'll give you an Irish toast, then we'll move on from Ireland, okay? You've all heard the one, right? May the road rise to meet your feet, right? May the road rise to meet your feet, the wind always be at your back. May the sunshine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your field. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. My favorite, though, is may you be in heaven a half an hour before the devil knows you're dead. Good Irish drinking toast. Say that don't lie, cheat, or steal. But if you do lie, lie beside me. If you do cheat, cheat death. If you do steal, steal my heart. Right? The Irish, we can find any reason to drink. I hate the stereotype, but man, we do love a party.
We appreciate the finer and more fun things.
We do.
In life.
We
it's
do.
It's a good thing.
It's all about the people. When I said I'd move to Ireland in a heartbeat, it's because of the people. I didn't meet any butt nuggets in Ireland. They were all just the sweetest people. Couldn't be more welcoming.
And I'm sure they exist, but population-wise, there's fewer of them.
Fewer of them, whereas we tend to be the dominant trait over here.
They're not as loud over there either.
The Irish people? No. Oh, yeah. The buttheads, no.
Yeah.
No. They're not. You're right. And mostly, it's funny because one year, Mike Jones and I, we were there alone. This is the year that I was talking about, the year Mike and Joe and Casey and I went, just the three of us. And so I didn't have my family there. My wife didn't go. Bob and Joe weren't there. It was just me and Mike. Casey went out. Casey, actually, her fiance came over, and they made a day trip to Scotland. They went to Edinburgh. And Mike and I spent the day walking Dublin, just a foot tour of Dublin. And we made a promise to each other that we wouldn't pass a single pub on the entire full day of Ireland. We walked, and we stopped in every pub and had a pint. And I tell you, Matt, we must have had a dozen pints each throughout the course of the day and into the evening. And we had lunch and we had dinner as we walked these pubs, at these pubs, and never got drunk. Drinking nothing but Guinness, didn't mix it with whiskey. Just had Guinness and stew, you know, corned beef, and never got drunk. Had the best day ever. You know, we didn't do, Matt, here's a segue for you. What we didn't do was drink and shop. You know, America, that's what's called those major market segues. Last year, Americans spent $14 billion drunk shopping. Shopping online after they'd loosened up their inhibitions and their self-control by having a few at home. Maybe it's mostly, I imagine it's wine or beer or shots, whatever. But I imagine mostly it's wine because we're talking about shopping. And I don't mean to be stereotypical, but I'm going to venture that drunk shopping is mostly the game of women as opposed to men. Although Chris Martin confessed that most of his album purchases, vinyl, he collects vinyl, and most of the time it's after a few barley pops at home at the end of a long day. And I know that you are a collector of nostalgia.
I know nothing about this.
I know that you collect a memorabilia from radio and from music.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of your collection. Some of your stuff is fantastic stuff.
By the way, I looked up what I paid for that Elvis Costello patch I showed you the other day. Guess how much?
How much?
High, low, guess.
I'm going to guess about $18.
Lower.
Ooh. To $8.
Boom.
No kidding.
Second
okay.
guess. You
wow.
got it. $8.
Wow. So, and what Matt bought, because he's just as strange as me when it comes to loving the things that he loves. Matt showed me this from what year? 81, 82?
Yeah, it was 81 when okay. Trust came out. Yeah. He was touring the States.
Was it NEW?
Yeah, WNEW New York. The original logo under Metro Media, which means nothing to anybody except me probably. But
well, yeah,
the original
folks.
Old school WNEW logo on this patch was awesome.
Well, you guys, if you're in town, you can remember the stations of your youth. You know, when KISW was FM 100 or when KJR was the rock station in town, right? You remember those old logos from your youth? That like when you see them, it just takes you immediately back. Matt shows me this patch. And a lot of stations did this. KSW did this too for a while. When a big rock show would come to town, they would make commemorative collectible patches or stickers for that show. And Elvis Costello came to New York in 1981, and Elvis and WNEW put out this limited edition patch that the station used to promote themselves and the show. And Matt bought one online in mint condition. I mean, someone has kept this thing under glass or inside a book or an album cover.
And it's 1 year older than I am, which means that thing is 41 years old.
And it's in pristine condition. Mm-hmm. And people think we're weird when we buy stuff like that. But I bought a Wheaties box with a John Unitas Wheaties box. Because I was born in Baltimore, and Johnny Unitas was my hero. John Unitas, Brooks Robinson, the Baltimore sports heroes. Much like here, it was going to be Jim Zorn or Junior or before that, you know, whomever it was from the Mariners' golden days.
So that was a sober purchase, though. That was a great deal.
That's where we were.
But
thank you.
But it is interesting. Yeah, it lowers your it lowers your inhibitions to a point where you're not as obsessed about spending the money. It feels like a not as big a thing.
You mean drinking does?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When you're drunk shopping. Yeah.
According to this survey, right? And it's funny. The writing is pretty good. This is from the New York Post. It says consumers make poor decisions, P-O-U-R, decisions. 17% of Americans are guilty of shopping while under the influence, spending an average of $319 each. That's according to a Finder's Drunk Shopping Survey. Finder's Drive Finder's. Okay, Spike, have another Jameson. Finder's Drunk Shopping Survey. 2,179 online respondents. Now, that equates, if you take it out across the whole mass, if you use that sample size of 2,100 people, roughly, Americans spend $14 billion over the last 12 months drunk shopping. And these are people who confessed to waking up in the morning and getting notes from, you know, in their email. Your Amazon purchase is en route. My what? Yep, that's right. They make it far too easy to shop. Far too easy. Of course, this stat's even funnier. This was in 2021, right? The Americans spent $14 billion drunk shopping. That's half as much as they spent in 2020 during the height of the pandemic when we were all locked at home with nothing to do except ease our own pain. Americans spent $45 billion drunk shopping in 2020. you know what? And I owe the ladies an apology. According to this study of over 2,179 online responders to a drunk shopping survey, 26% of them were men. And more likely than women, 10% more likely than women to make a drunk purchase.
Did they break this down? I wish they had, you know, specified
what they bought
by type of alcohol. Like, so is it like guys do this more drinking whiskey or beer and ladies with the red wine or the white wine? Like, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how the type of alcohol.
Let me look in here in the survey.
If they spend more on whiskey.
That's funny. But they didn't break down what they were drinking, just what they were buying. And according to this, the top category for men to shop for is food. Well, but they order food when they're drunk. Grubhub.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if does that count as drunk shopping?
Well, I don't see it. Yeah, I don't consider that shopping.
I wouldn't
you're
either.
Eat anyway, you're just more prone to think you want to eat more.
I remember waking up to a room full of Subway wrappers and thinking, "Oh my God, I didn't." Or worse yet, remember little white taverns, little castle burgers?
Oh, White Castle.
White Castles, yeah. Baltimore's called Little Tavern.
You must have had an unpleasant day.
Oh, you wake up with an empty bag and like a half dozen wrappers in your room. That's a horrible way to wake up. According to the survey, men's most popular intoxicated purchase was food, while women opted for shoes, clothes, or accessories. 50% of all the things women bought while drinking were shoes and clothes. Gambling was 43% of online purchases when drunk. Gambling. Women bought more alcohol when drunk than men did. Men just drank till they dropped and fell over. Women kept going. Women had to buy more alcohol. That's funny. Oh my gosh, women actually bought pets online while drinking. Pets accounted for 4% of all female intoxicated shopping in 2021. Pets. I need a dog. Who sells pets online?
Wouldn't that be something if you forgot all about it and then someday this pet arrives? Oh my gosh,
what?
I bought a parrot.
Don't drink. Do you imagine like answering the door and there's a guy from Amazon and he's got a cat in a box? That is hilarious.
Oh.
People in the West Coast are 20% more likely to drunk shop than folks in the Midwest. No, the 20% are more likely to, our West Coast shoppers are the most likely by 20%. The East Coasters are the least common drunk shoppers. That's funny. That is really funny. Boomers are the top drink shoppers at 45, followed by Gen X at 45. Pretty close. That's funny. Oh, drinking and shopping. So you think we should open bars for later than 2 o'clock, Matt, as we look at this?
Well, I'm sure the retailers would appreciate it.
Well, I don't know. It may give you less time to get home and shop if you're in the bar till 4. Oh, man.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance.
One guy, one artist the Irish don't get enough credit for is Van Morrison.
Nowadays, I don't know if they want to take too much credit
for
him.
Yeah, he's kind of deep-ended, hasn't he?
He's a cranky fellow, but he made some good tunes. Mm.
It's Kyra Knight and Spike and Yell on with Matt Butler. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We'll be right back.
Yet all the night's magic seemed to whisper and hush. Yet all the soft moonlight seems to shine. Yet your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love?
Welcome back to Cairo Nights, St. Patrick's Day. Patrick's Day edition. Who's this?
These are the Undertones.
Undertones?
This is John Peel's favorite single of all time.
Nice. We talked about this afternoon. I don't know that I feel like I heard enough sides of this, because I was talking to Matt off air about it, and I want to bring it up. A man arrested for arson during CHOP has entered the race for the Seattle City Council seat in his neighborhood he grew up in, neighborhood he went to high school in. Isaiah Willoughby is a man charged with arson, setting fire to police precinct during the Capitol Hill occupation of CHOP. He's running for the 2nd District seat of Seattle City Council. And now this guy was convicted of arson. And he was sentenced to 2 years in jail, went to jail in October of 21 and was released in March of 22, just about a year ago. And it was his only crime. He wasn't a career criminal. And he said that he got caught up in this. A friend of his, a roommate of his, had died in police custody. And this was during a lot of upheaval in this country about police violence. And this isn't an indictment on the police departments. This is just, this is cause and effect. When somebody, loses their temper and, loses their cool, and it's a protest and things get destructive and things get violent. This guy there was a pile of debris adjacent to a police station up in the CHOP area. He poured gasoline on it, lit it on fire, was arrested and charged with and convicted of arson. Mr. Willoughby went to jail, served his time, got out, and now says that there is a lack of diversity in the city council, especially with regard to his neighborhood. He doesn't feel like his community is represented, and he's running for office. And when I was discussing this afternoon with Jack Stein, we both kind of came to the conclusion that, look, everybody makes mistakes, but arson's not a small thing. And Mr. Willoughby tried to describe it as property damage. And, property damage is smashing a window. Property damage is, a lot of things. But arson is arson. And it was just property damage, but we're lucky that it was. And I didn't know that enough time had passed. He's been out of jail for a year. And I think the conclusion that we reached this afternoon mutually, I think, was that show me some more. Show me that you're not the same guy was 3 years ago now that the incident happened, but he served half a year and he's been out of jail for a year. Show me some work in the community. Show me some growth and leadership and initiative. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk for a while. But Matt, you brought up out in the newsroom, how much is paid? How much do you have to pay before your debt is paid to society? And I think it's a fair question.
And this is very difficult because It's different than judging, say, a career criminal.
Exactly.
You look at somebody under duress at a time when there were extreme miscarriages of justice against people of color on the part of certain rogue police officers, not the whole system.
Yeah.
And people look at it this way, too. There's another angle that complicates it for me. While not condoning what he did at all, the salaries of the police and of our officials are paid for by taxpayers. All of this infrastructure that is weaponized or abused against certain people is also paid for by them.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is understandable why you get a certain level of rage and you start to feel like the only way to get somebody to notice or listen is to do this. Again, that doesn't make it okay, but the extreme mental duress and upset that this triggers in people who have felt unheard for long periods of time, you can understand how they got there, even if you don't approve of what they did, which I don't. So then the question becomes, is his act who he is?
Right, exactly.
Or was that an act of a moment, like a, well, you know, they say temporary insanity. I'm not saying it's insanity, but it's an event trigger. So if that doesn't define him, and to the point, we have so many criminals and grifters in major elected office, way higher than city council.
Yeah.
You can rip off Medicare for the largest amount in the history of the United States and become a Florida senator.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
It's difficult. I'm not going to say he'll make a good city councilman. I don't know.
I don't either.
But if he's not in jail, he's paid his debt for the crime that he committed. He has the right to run. Whether or not people will vote for him is a different story.
Right. And he said, you know, my crime does not define who I am or who I'll be in the future or my narrative or the legislative policies I can implement in Seattle for the greater good of my people. And I think he's right. And we were talking off air, and it seems to me that there may be an element of his community, and I'm not saying this in a disparaging tone. There may be people who say, look, this guy got out there in the streets and, you know, committed a crime, but he was passionate about the cause. And that may be attractive to some voters. You never know. You know what I mean? There are people in Georgia who found it attractive for a QAnon conspiracy theorist.
Well, can I make a point, too, about double standards here as I perceive it? A lot of the people that'll talk to me and text me and say, this guy is horrible, he should never be allowed to run for office or be involved in anything in society the rest of his life, that all of these people are just the worst of the worst because they committed property damage crimes or whatever in pursuit of this protest that gets out of hand. Okay, fine. I will grant you that none of these people should be committing property damage or violence, to be clear.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, a lot of these same people are the ones that say that if government oppresses them as they perceive it or incorrectly interprets the Constitution again as they perceive it, because they're, of course, constitutional law scholars, that they have the right to take up their ARs and don themselves in camo and go commit insurrection. So that is a double standard. If you believe what this guy did is wrong, then you can't support insurrection, treason, and sedition, period.
Yeah, well put. And, you know, it's a moment. It was a moment in the guy's life where he let his emotions get the better of him. We're lucky that it didn't get worse. The penalty would have been worse, you know, had it gotten worse. You know, he served his time, paid his debt to society. And, you know, I don't know that I wouldn't vote for him, having thought about it more since this afternoon. And I appreciate your input this afternoon, too, Matt. I mean, here's a guy who was passionate. Let's give a guy a chance and turn your life around and use that passion for, hey, I don't mean to be cliche, but use it for good instead of evil.
And in a roundabout way, somebody who reformed could be a role model in the same way former addicts make great drug counselors in many cases.
Yeah.
So you just, if you write somebody off completely, you have to apply the same standard across the board. You can't just do it when somebody politically who you don't like commits a crime.
You're right. Absolutely. And the double standard is what's so unnerving about this. If we took people who were judged by their worst mistake and held that against them forever, half the seats in elected office would be empty. We'd be having elections all over the place for vacant seats. But this guy's a citizen of color. I think that's got something to do with it, too. So, his name again, Isaiah Willoughby. He's all over the news. He did an interview with Jason Rance, which, by the way, I give him credit for. Talk about playing on enemy turf. Jason Rance is not in his corner on this. And asked tough questions, as he should. And Mr. Willoughby had the stones to do the interview and speak his piece. And own his mistakes. And define why he wants to run for city council. Be interested to see how it goes. I mean, the question is, should he be allowed to run or not? I think, of course, he should be allowed to run. You know, I mean, we've got a guy that may be the Republican nominee for president in 2024. Should he be allowed to run? Oh. I'm not equating the violence of Mr. Willoughby's actions to the other alleged criminality of former President Trump. But there have been allegations. I'm guessing this is the Water Boys.
Now, this is a band called Hot House Flowers.
Oh,
the song
I know.
Thing of Beauty.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's Kyra Knights. When we come back, we'll kind of look at your texts, some of your input to this evening's activities, and coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to run a best of the midday show, as we're doing until we figure out what's going on around here. We'll be right back with Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. Kyra Knights. Happy St. Patrick. Matt, nice job, brother. One of the texters asked, we're talking about Mr. Willoughby, who's running for city council after being convicted and serving time for arson. Why wasn't he charged with attempted murder, says the texter. He could have easily been responsible for barbecuing officers and staff occupied in that building. I believe the building was empty as part of the CHOP. Now, I'll look into that.
Right. That's my understanding, too. And if they had the evidence and the bar of evidence to prove that, then that charge probably would have been added.
Probably would have been added. Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. I appreciate your asking. And we'll do some more research, but I think Matt's got it, too. I think it was an empty building that had been abandoned by the police department during that situation, which was a horrible time back in our past. And I think we all can agree that was something we'd all rather move past and not have it hang around somebody's neck for the rest of their life. And someone said to that question, you know, wrong is wrong. Are you kidding me? It doesn't matter who you are. Breaking the law and crime and destruction are wrong. And we were talking about, you know, we're asking if people deserve a second chance. That's why we brought it up. Does someone deserve a second chance? Having served their time but paid their price, you know, paid their debt to society, you know, I've been given a second chance along the way, probably more than one, probably more than two. I'm sure the texter, I'm sure you have too. I think we should all, you know, have a moment of empathy, right? Oh, let's see what you got here, Matt. Boom, 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 boom. This came across late. Now, I want to make sure. Oh, I'm going to deny that.
Just FYI, the last song was from a very talented band that was big in the 90s, an indie rock band called Ash. The song was called Envy. It is a total jam, just in case anybody wants to check that out.
I appreciate that. Other texters I want to get to now. There's one I'm looking for, and I hate when I do this. I apologize that I should. A texter says, I added $10,000 worth of air guns to my collection during the pandemic. Most of it was drunk shopping. But I don't regret a thing. I love them all. My collection is almost complete. And then I'll quit. Maybe. Good luck with that, brother. Hey, man, we all got our little vices. You know, It's been 6 months since my last Funko Pop purchase. Every day's a struggle. I keep coming back. Somebody said, Matt, you read my mind with the Undertones. Great choice. Yeah. And someone says, this debate is why we have so many reoffenders. Is it? Is that why we have so many reoffenders? I don't know. I don't know about that. I would think we have so many reoffenders because our penal system isn't designed to rehabilitate. I think it's designed to keep guys in a perpetual loop of recommitting crimes.
And this guy to me doesn't sound like the biggest reoffender risk either. If this was his first offense,
yeah, exactly.
And he's willing to go on interviews and talk about it, especially in a media environment that might not be very friendly to him initially, then that says something to me about what he's trying to do. And I think he probably really does want to try and help his community.
Yep.
This may be the way or it may not.
Yeah. And a texter said to that point, hey, why not? The voters will decide after all. Same thing with whomever else is running for office with a checkered past, mistakes in their past, redemption stories. We love a good redemption story in this country. We love a good phoenix. We love to rip somebody down and build them back up again. That's what makes America, is able to come back from your mistakes. We're talking about the sticker Matt bought from WNEW, and Texter says, yep, the yellow round KJR window sticker, the red sunshine-shaped King window stickers, they were everywhere. You bet they were, man. Part of our heritage, absolutely part of our past. All righty, folks. I am just about out of gas here. I'm going to give you a couple more. I'm going to give you one more Irish blessing, and then we'll call it an evening here at Cairo Nights. Let me see here. Let me pick up. If I'm going to give you just one more. Ah, that's too cheese ball. Where's the one about the free drinks? That's the one I want. Sorry. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. May the winds of fortune sail you. May you sail a gentle sea. May it always be the other guy who says the drink's on me. Sláinte. Just Irish for cheers, and hope you guys had a nice night. Appreciate you being a part of our evening. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. Had a great time tonight. Had a great time this week.
Before you ever leave this world alive, well, thank you for the things you did in my life.
We'll see you next week.
If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet.